Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Siobhan Madigan, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, an inquest into the death of a 16-year-old girl at University Hospital Limerick has heard her parents begged and roared for help as she waited 12 hours to be seen by a doctor. Schoolgirl Aoife Johnston died in December 2022 after being referred to the overcrowded emergency department with suspected sepsis. The head of the HSE and the University of Limerick Hospitals Group have apologised for failings in her care and the missed opportunities, in their words, which led to, I quote, devastating and catastrophic consequences. Our reporter John Cook is at the coroner's court in Kilmallock and he joins me now. John, you might remind us, first of all, to the background of this case and the various investigations into Aoife's tragic death.
Yes, Cormac. Aoife Johnston was a 16-year-old girl from Shannon in County Clare. Full of life, we were told, only about to do her leaving cert, according to solicitor and senior counsel for her family, Damien Tansey, as her sisters Megan and Kate placed two framed photographs in front of the judges' benches in the courthouse in Kilmallock this morning, facing those present at the invitation of Limerick coroner John McNamara, one sister remarking, "We want everyone to see her," as they placed those photographs, and Mr. Tansey described her as a beautiful young girl. A number of inquiries have been commissioned into Aoife Johnston's death at the University of Limerick Hospital on December 19th, 2022. An external systems analysis review, which noted how sepsis guidelines were not followed. It was raised in court by senior counsel for the family as they're concerned, he said, they didn't get to see the interim report, and he said there were changes noted between that interim report and a final draft. Conor Halpin, the senior counsel for the University of Limerick Hospital Group, says the report in question is not a matter of evidence in this inquest, though the coroner said he has read and reviewed it. Aoife's death was also the subject of an internal HSE report, and following this, the former Chief Justice Frank Clark was asked to investigate the circumstances of her death. His report for the HSE's Chief Executive Bernard Gloucester has been delayed until next month. Today's inquest and the inquest that will take place at Limerick Coroner's Court throughout this week, we were told, is a public inquiry into circumstances of her death, to make findings and return a verdict and possible recommendations, not to censure anybody or to exonerate anyone either. Questions of civil or criminal liability do not arise under the Coroner's Act. And this is a separate investigation, Cormac.
You might tell me, John, about some of the medical witnesses that followed and what they had to say about Aoife's care.
First, I might start by outlining what Aoife's parents had to say, Cormac, because they were the first witnesses to appear before the coroner's court today. Mm-hmm. Aoife's parents, Carol and James, spoke to the inquest about their beloved daughter, reading prepared statements, both outlining the sequence of devastating events that began with Aoife in great form that morning, they said, in December of 2022, having a breakfast and a shower as normal. She told them, though, a number of hours later, around 12 noon, that she felt unwell. She took paracetamol and went to bed. At 3:30, she came downstairs telling them she had vomited and wasn't well. James brought his daughter to the out-of-hours Shannon Dock service, where a GP advised they needed to go to the hospital in Limerick straight away. His wife Carol joined them en route, and after they arrived at the University of Limerick Hospital at 5:40 p.m, in her evidence, Carol said she had spoke to the receptionist. She had already read the GP's letter from Shannon Dock advising the hospital of possible viral septicemia and dehydration. She told the receptionist she needed attention. They were asked to take a seat and Aoife was eventually triaged, they said, at 7:15 after vomiting two more times. Aoife was placed in a wheelchair and taken to Zone A of the emergency department. As there was no trolley available, her father, James, tried to make a bed for her with two chairs in a room he likened to a storage area for PPE and personal protective equipment. A picture of Aoife on the two chairs was presented to the coroner. He said Aoife's skin became blotchy. She had a mark on her left eye like a birthmark. She was vomiting violently, he outlined. I continually begged for help, he said. The response was a cup for Aoife to get sick into and a rebuke on one occasion from a staff member, he said, telling him that she was well, the staff member was well aware that Aoife was sick, but I have 70 other patients to look after. Aoife was screaming in agony with pain, he said, in further distressing evidence in her right leg and head. Her dad, James, telling the court that he also heard other people on trolleys in the emergency department asking nurses and doctors to intervene and help her. Both of Aoife's parents said she was brought alone for an x-ray in the early hours of the morning. They were told they weren't required to come when they asked if they could. Said that when she returned, she said Aoife told them that staff had been giving out to her because she couldn't stand up any longer. At 6 a.m, over 12 hours after triage, James Johnson said his daughter was finally seen by a doctor in agony, with pain in her head, with blotchy skin, vomiting, and we were told she would be treated as if she had meningitis. Afterwards, she deteriorated further. James said he went out roaring at the nurses to help. His wife Carol outlining how Aoife could no longer communicate. As one staff member told Aoife, "If you don't tell me what's wrong with you, how can I know?" Aoife was then taken to the resuscitation area of the emergency department, her limbs moving involuntarily, they said, and held down by her parents at the request of staff so the treatment could be administered. They were advised she'd be placed in an induced coma, allowing her body relax. She was later moved to the ICU, and following scans, James and Carol were advised nothing could be done to save their daughter. A brain stem cell test to be performed on Monday, December 19th, they were told, was what would follow. And their statements concluded by saying Aoife's death was recorded at 3:31 p.m. that afternoon. The Johnstons and their daughters, along with members of their extended family, wept and fought back tears in court as they refuted suggestions that Aoife's condition might have shown some signs of improvement at times. She was getting worse and worse, according to James, sicker and sicker, and I kept begging for help. He apologised for some of the language he used in court, explaining he meant no offence by it, but he said he was begging and roaring. "We watched our daughter die," said Carol. "I wouldn't wish it on anyone." Aoife complained all night, she said. "I told her she was in the best place. It turned out she wasn't."
As you say, very distressing detail and testimony from Aoife Johnson's parents. And then the medical witnesses followed, John, am I right?
That's right, Cormac, and there'll be many more to come. But among those today, triage nurse Ariana de Guzman says she triaged Aoife Johnson at 7:14 p.m. and classified her as a Category 2 patient due to the sepsis query in the GP referral letter she'd come in with, meaning she was an urgent case and should have been seen by her by a doctor in the emergency department within 10 minutes. Subsequent evidence has revealed in court that she wasn't seen by a doctor until 6 a.m. the following morning, over 10 and a half hours later. She said Aoife should have been moved to the resus department to begin sepsis treatment, but with 15 patients in the 7 cubicle resus area, they were already at more than double the capacity, she said. She said emergency department registrar doctors told her she couldn't be taken there at that time, despite her concerns over fever, low blood pressure and a raised heart rate. Emergency department nurse Kira McCarthy, who was assigned to care for Aoife Johnson and other patients in Zone A, is not present for this inquest. She's out of the country, we heard. But in her written statement, she noted excessively high emergency department waiting times on the night in question. She said she referred to raising Aoife's condition on three occasions with three different emergency registrars in the resus area, but was told they were too busy to come to Zone A of the emergency department to see her. And she said she was not aware that Aoife was a sepsis query at triage. One of the registrars in resus that night to give evidence today said he had no recollection of being asked about Aoife Johnson's case by a nurse, but he said that sepsis treatment could have commenced outside of the resus area. At 8 a.m. nurse McCarthy said she found Aoife distressed, tearful and agitated. She approached one of the emergency department registrars again, she said, and told the doctor she needed to be reassessed. Aoife became unresponsive, she said, before the emergency department registrar came into the cubicle, and of her own accord, the nurse said, she asked two other nurses help her immediately remove Aoife to the resus area at that stage before concluding her night shift. There are further medical witnesses to come, Cormac, but the one doctor to give evidence today, Dr. Mohammed Hassan, who said he was not involved in Aoife's care, said he regards her death as a black point in our history and my memory. Every time there's a crisis in the hospital, I think of Aoife Johnston.
Do you have any detail, John, on the apologies made to the Johnson family in court from the hospital and the HSE?
Yes, they've been made prior to this inquest and again were read out in court today, Cormac. Two letters of apology were read out in court at the start of the inquest, the first from the Chief Executive Officer of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester. A formal acknowledgement, he said, of his previous meeting with the family, at which the court was told he was moved and emotional by Aoife's situation, when he said that he told them, "We in the HSE failed Aoife at the University of Limerick Hospital Group Emergency Department in December of 2022, a failure of significant proportions with clear catastrophic consequences. We failed you as a family," he added, "and can only ever try to understand your loss." His letter also noted the meeting that took place between the Johnston family and the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, in recent months. In the second letter of apology, it came from Professor Colette Cowan, the Chief Executive Officer of the University of Limerick Hospitals Group, in which she expressed deep sorrow for the loss of Aoife Johnston and deeply regretted the devastating consequences that followed missed opportunities and that national guidelines on the management of sepsis were not followed, pledging that the hospital group will learn from this, Cormac.
We've heard very many times, John, about overcrowding at the emergency department in Limerick, but there's obviously added focus on the problem at this inquest.
Yeah, this is another case where chronic overcrowding at the University Hospital Limerick Emergency Department and the ongoing trolley crisis is very much in the spotlight. Nurses in their evidence reported 170 patients in the emergency department on the night Aoife died in what they said was the busiest weekend on record at the time. It was during December of 2022. There was a week-long yellow weather warning for icy conditions and many patients had presented with fractured and broken bones related to this, they said. One emergency department doctor said, yes, it was chaotic. There were trolleys everywhere. While this evening's last witness in the inquest on day one, Catherine Skelly, who was a clinical nurse manager on the night in question, said emergency department overcrowding conditions that night were critical and unsafe. With 15 nurses on duty, she said there should have been 20 as per correct allocation. We could have done with 30, she added, due to the volume of patients. It was akin to a war zone, she said. Trolleys back to back, patients lined up on chairs, some sitting on floors, obstructing toilets, sick children being held in parents' arms. While the resource area's 7 cubicles were full, she said, another 7 on trolleys with dislocations, fractured bones, elderly people, she said. It should have been a major response situation, in my opinion, she added, outlining how she had contacted her nursing superiors and they had raised calls further up the line of management saying they needed help. Category 2 patients like Aoife Johnston, she said, need to be seen within 10 to 15 minutes as per their triage protocol. But it was taking over 10 hours for some of those patients. Some patients in category 3 weren't seen for over 22 hours. Some patients, she said, in desperation, left the hospital that night without being treated. She said her assistant director of nursing called the executive manager on duty that night while she spoke to the consultant in charge of the emergency department, who declined to come into the hospital that night. He said he'd been in earlier that day and would return the following morning. He's due to give evidence in the inquest himself later this week. No one received the care they deserved that night, according to Catherine Skelly. Staff work in dire conditions and unimaginable distress. The former emergency department nurse said she had witnessed overcrowding become the norm, not the exception, and asked to explain why she no longer works in Limerick's emergency department. Catherine Skelly said she never worked there again after that weekend in December of 2022. It absolutely broke me. Personally and professionally, she said, that girl died.
And I know that evidence continues in this case this evening, John.
It's just concluded within the last few minutes, Cormac, cross-examination continuing of Nurse Catherine Skelly for quite some time on behalf of Senior Counsel for the Family, for the HSE, and also a number of other legal representatives for other management within the hospital. This inquest is behind schedule already in hearing from 25 witnesses that are listed over 4 days this week. So the decision has been made that it will resume tomorrow at an earlier time in the morning and is likely to continue, we're told, until Thursday here at the Coroner's Court in Kilmallock.
Thank you very much indeed for that. John Cook reporting there from Limerick Coroner's Court in Kilmallock.